The Bible reading this morning is from Revelation chapter 5, and we're reading verses 1 through 14. Revelation 5, 1 to 14. Hear the word of the Lord. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped.
Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. He is risen. Excellent, excellent. I love it. I love it. Easter is such a joyful time, such a great opportunity to gather, to praise our God. And so I welcome you in the name of Christ and encourage you with these words that I'm about to preach from God's word. Dr. Catherine Kuntz worked in education. A friend to many and a help to all around her, she put sacrificial effort into loving others. A friend of Catherine wrote, "Catherine was as wonderful as a friend could be. Her faith was her foundation, her family was her greatest love, and still she always gave to others so that they could feel loved and cared for too. I'm blessed to have been one of those people," her friend said. Catherine's untimely and tragic death will forever feel like an urgent call to never waste a chance to share my heart, not ever. Dr. Catherine Kuntz was the head of school, the principal, at the Covenant School in Nashville, Tennessee. On Monday, March 27th, she left the safety of her office to go and try and protect her students. She was one of the three adults killed that day, along with 3 9-year-old children. About 10 years ago, my wife's aunt, Shelley's aunt, Aunt Sylvia, gave us a tour of Covenant School and the church when we visited Nashville about 10 years ago. Shelley's cousins have attended that school. One of them work at the school, and family members have also attended the church, Covenant Church. This tragic event in Nashville reminds us that Christians, we do not escape suffering and loss in this world. And Christians in the West, probably like all Christians down through the ages, we might have enjoyed relative safety at one point, but now we are becoming targets of violence in the Western world, like it was down through the ages in the church. You see, us and our children are even targets. What will the future bring? Well, Revelation 4 and 5 pulls back heaven's curtain to see God's throne room. And in chapter 5, the passage that we just heard read, John sees the central figure of all of human history, Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Lamb of God. And his unique authority and his unique accomplishments underscore his worthiness to be worshipped. This Easter, you may have many questions. Maybe some about Christianity. Maybe some about your life. Maybe some about what's happening in this world. You may have many opinions about today's headlines. None of us can predict the future. But John now invites each one of us into God's throne room to worship the Lamb who was slain. He is risen. We worship the slain and triumphant Lamb of God. In his authority, he has the authority to open the scroll and to accomplish our redemption, which secures our future. Let's talk about that Lamb and his authority to have that scroll in his hand. Every Saturday morning, Shelley and I receive a print edition of The Australian. Lands on our lawn, and it's wrapped in cling film to protect it from the elements. Now, without unwrapping it, I can tell it's our paper, but I can't see any news printed on it. However, when I unwrap it, when I remove the plastic, I'm able to read what's written there. So wrapped, it's unreadable. Unwrapped, the contents are disclosed. So the scroll in Revelation 5 is rolled up, but it's not a newspaper. It doesn't just reveal some bygone events. The scroll in the right hand of the one sitting on the throne is representative of the authority of God. You see, it's God who issues his decree. That scroll records these decrees. It's God who issues the decrees to finally judge his enemies and to fully save his people. It's a sign of his authority. Now, the next chapter in Revelation, chapter 6, you don't need to turn there, but the contents of that chapter tell us about the scroll's contents, hint at things. You see, as the seals are opened, just the seals to open the scroll, as they are opened, four terrifying horsemen arise. Martyred saints pray to be avenged. Nature is retreating, and the earthly rulers want to hide. What are they hiding from? Well, they're hiding from the one who's seated on the throne. And they're hiding from the wrath of the Lamb. See, both the scroll and its seals indicate God's all-encompassing authority over everything. And so we see the scroll as a sign of authority. But why does John weep then? Why does he weep at this sign of authority? Well, because no one can take this scroll, these decrees. No one can take them from God's hand and read it because no one is worthy. Everyone gathered around the throne in God's throne room is unworthy. Think about it. The 24 elders, the angels, the four living creatures, John tells us in verse 3 that none in heaven or on earth or under the earth are worthy. Think about it. Even though these beings are perfect, they are only creatures. None have standing to open and look into God's scroll, into God's decrees. None of them can stop an unjust, rebellious, and wicked world. Sad headlines of death and rebellion will continue if no one is found worthy. That's why John is weeping. Of course, God himself can stop all wickedness by judging all who do wrong. You know, one of the big objections to Christianity is, what about the problem of evil in the world? Why do people just get away with murder? Why do people get away with genocide? Why do bad things happen? And why does God allow it? It's the problem of evil. But let me ask you, what would your future be if God judged your wrongdoing? What would my future be if God judged my wrongdoing? He could surely stop us from doing the wrong, but when he stops us, what is our future? Do you have a spotless record? I know I don't have a spotless record. Even doing one wrong. You think Adam and Eve in the garden, they just took one bite of the forbidden fruit. Even doing one wrong is wicked, and it deserves God's condemnation. See, without God's mercy, our future is hellish. Our need is for God's promised king, with God's just authority, to mercifully carry out God's decrees. That's why John is comforted when one of the elders says in verse 5, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." There's rejoicing. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, these are ancient titles that tell of God's promise to send his people a perfect king, a king who lives forever. And then John sees this strange thing. He's heard about this Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's heard about the Root of David. And then he sees coming up from within the elders, this group that's gathered in verse 6. Look what it says. He sees a lamb standing as though he had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. This lamb is God's king. His seven horns, a horn is a symbol of strength in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In Revelation, it's a symbol of strength and authority and power. He has seven of them, a perfect number. He has seven eyes. And these eyes can see everything, everywhere, all things. Nothing is disclosed from this lamb. He sees it all. And so his seven horns and his seven eyes are signs of his perfect power, his perfect authority, his perfect knowledge. This lamb is God's promised all-powerful, all-knowing king with authority to judge all creation. So for those of us who worship this lamb, you're here today and you know that you know this lamb. You're one of his. He is your king. How is our future different because of this lamb? Well, that's because the lamb just didn't come and appear in heaven and take the scroll. This lamb has other accomplishments as well. So let's talk about those accomplishments. Let's see it here in this passage. There's a crucial thing that happens in verse 7. The Lamb, he went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And this tells us that this Lamb is no creature. This Lamb is God too. Like Daniel 7's vision of the Son of Man receiving the everlasting dominion from the Ancient of Days, the Lamb here in Revelation chapter 5 has authority as God. And as God's promised king, he has authority to rule with this scroll of God, this symbol of authority. And look what happens immediately as he takes the scroll. All the creatures who are present in God's throne room, they immediately fall down in worship before the Lamb. They know that he is God. And he receives their worship. He's acknowledging, I am God. And the prayers of God's saints, the prayers of God's people, they fill the room with incense. And everyone in the throne room begins to sing and to speak praise to the Lamb. So let's track fully through this passage. In verse 9 and 10, they sing praise of his work of sacrifice. This Lamb was slain to ransom people. In other words, to buy them back, to get them out of bondage, out of slavery, to rescue them. He was slain to ransom people from every tribe and people and language and nation. It's great to look out at the congregation here and see so many ransomed from every tribe and tongue and nation. And this isn't even all of who God has rescued, right? God has been rescuing not just the Jews in Old Testament Israel, but that was always meant to roll out to all the world, that Jesus, the slain Lamb, rescues from every tribe and people and language. Verse 11 and 12 speak of myriads of angels, countless angels, as it were, who spoke of the Lamb's worthiness. They recognize who he is God, and he is worthy. And then in verse 13 and 14, every creature in heaven, on earth and under the earth, and even in the sea. You remember before, every creature in all of those places was unworthy. But here they are now praising the one who is worthy. They speak further blessing to the one who is on the throne and to the Lamb who was slain. So did you notice? Creatures from every corner of God's creation, from the highest heaven to the deeps, to the depths of the sea, all of them give praise to the Lamb. Did you notice that? Every area of creation knows the Lamb is worthy of exuberant praise. What about you? What about me? You see, without God's king, everyone who does wrong, that would include you and me, everyone who does wrong, whether we do just a little wrong, we take the bite of a fruit, of a forbidden fruit, sorry, or whether we do really big public sins that everybody knows about. Without the king, we would spend eternity under God's condemnation and under the wrath of the Lamb. God justly requires payment for all wrongdoing, for any wrongdoing. However, those who yield to God's king, who bow before him, who follow him, who give praise to him, we receive mercy. Our sin is covered. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain, and it was his blood that paid the price for your wrongdoing, for my wrongdoing. He paid the price for all who will repent and believe in him. But not only are we forgiven, are we cleansed of our sin, But we are restored, and that's the second part of what the Lamb is doing. He's not just washing us clean and saving us and paying the price for us, ransoming us. Look at verse 10. Praise is sung for the Lamb who sanctifies us, who makes us a kingdom of priests to our God, and ones who shall reign on the earth. So that ransomed humanity, those of us who are saved by our King, those of us cleansed by His blood, we have a restored purpose. Many of you will know at the beginning of the Bible, the story that I've made reference to a few times now, Adam and Eve, our first parents, the first humans that God created. They fell into sin and they lost their position as rightful rulers of God's creation. They were created to rule God's creation, to have dominion over this world, to look after it, to tend it. And then they rebelled against God and they lost their position. Like us, they were rebels who ignored God and turned to their own selfish ways. But God's King, the Lamb, He makes rebels like you and me to be, what does He say here? Priests to our God. Ready to serve and tell others, teach others, show others the love of our great King. Even more, one day we are going to reign on the earth with our King. Let me return to my opening story. At Catherine's funeral, her husband, Dick Kuntz, called on those present to support the seven families who lost loved ones on the 27th of March. The families of the three students, the families of the three adults who were trying to protect the students, and the shooter, the family of the shooter as well. Dick was being the priest that the Lamb of God had made him to be. Just as Catherine was the priest to try and take care of those under her charge, now Dick, encouraged in the face of great personal loss, Dick called on the saints at the funeral on that day to show gospel love to all those who were grieving, even the family of the shooter. That is what the Lamb does. That is the work of the Lamb, that He would sacrifice for His people and then He would restore them so that they could be priests and rule with Him. Rebels made into priests and rulers. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that's what the Lord has done in your life. Brothers and sisters in Christ and friends here who may not know Jesus yet, what will your future bring? The resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Lamb of God, He secures the futures of all those who take shelter in His blood, in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, He has all authority. He ransoms people from every tribe and language and tongue. He makes them priests and rulers in God's kingdom. I pray that's what He's doing in your life. If you're a priest of the kingdom and the priest of this King, take the message, teach others, tell others, share with those around you, those closest to you and those co-workers and fellow students, wherever, neighbors. Be a priest. Teach and tell them of the great Lamb of God who is worthy. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know the Lamb, please talk with any here who do. Let them share with you of this great King. Also, you might want to take one of these booklets and just read it and have a look at the truths that are in the book from the Word of God that will help you understand who this Lamb is in the gospel. You see, our newspapers report tragic and largely sad stories. Rebellion, murder, cheating, theft, lies. But Revelation, it tells us of a Lamb who holds the scroll and is glorious and he is worthy and he is risen. Have you joined the worshiping multitudes? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you are on the throne. There is no one who can go against your authority. And Lord Jesus, thank you for being our King, the one who rules us, the one who defends us, the one who has made us priests. Holy Spirit, help us to be good priests, to represent well and witness well to the great Lamb that we serve. Holy Spirit, empower us, empower your church to be great and bold witnesses of your love and your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.